There's a milk believer and there's a meat believer, all right? I mean, that's really what he's saying here, is there are certain people that you can teach and it's like giving them milk. Now, we understand that babies drink milk because they don't have teeth, right? All right, so what they do is we give them a bottle and they suck it all down and they drink it because they can't chew their food, all right? And God makes the same parallel with a Christian. There are certain Christians that when it comes to the Word of God, they're milk believers. They can't chew it. They can't figure it out on their own. They have to have somebody spoon feed them. They have to have somebody giving it to them so that they understand the Word of God. The kindergartners in here, school is built on basically year after year of education. You take in so that you can take in more, and you take in more so you can take in more. And it builds itself. That's why we go from elementary school to junior high to high school to college. You don't start off with college, you start off with elementary school. And God makes the statement here. He says that there are certain believers that they can only take in milk. Now, you might be one of those believers. I just want to tell you, that's not a compliment. You ought not to be a milk believer. You know, milk is easy to digest, easy to drink, easy to put down. Now, it gives you nourishment, but it's not like having a steak. How many would rather have a steak? I'd rather have a steak. How many would like to have a hamburger? I'd like to have a hamburger. How many would like to have some fried chicken? I'd like to have some fried chicken. All that sounds pretty good, and it's because our taste buds are... If our physical growth has gotten to a place that we can enjoy those other things. There's many a Christians that never get to enjoy the Word of God because they never get past milk. They never get past to taking in the Word of God, of being able to drink the Word of God. And I want to tell you, a steak's a whole lot better than milk, but most people have no idea spiritually what the Word of God can do for them and what they can get from it because they're still taking the milk. Now, what's milk? Milk in the Word of God is those easy things to understand. All right, so what happens is we talk about prayer. Is that pretty easy? You need to ask God for things. We talk about Bible reading. That's pretty easy. I need to read my Bible. I'm supposed to be a witness. Tell people about Jesus. Those are easy things to understand. But the meat of the word would be things like revelation, prophecy, things that are harder to maybe digest. Bible standards. You think those are easy because you heard them all your life. But a new Christian, they can't understand tithing. I'm supposed to give the church money on a regular basis. They don't understand that. That's the meat of the word. The more you grow as a Christian, the more you understand what God wants for you in your life, and that's what we do. Now, I want you to notice here that there's three things that are mentioned in this passage here that makes a person a milk believer. Now, let me quickly say, I want to, again, expound a little bit more on this. A milk believer is a person who cannot understand the word of God on their own. They need somebody to basically give it to them, and they're not getting as much as they possibly could from it. Hey, by the way, you can be a milk believer and be saved for 20 years. How long you're a Christian or if you're raised in a Christian home doesn't determine if you're a milk believer or a meat believer, all right? So here's what he's saying here. Look at these things here. What makes a person a milk believer? Look at your Bible again, verse number 11. Of whom ye have many things to say and hard to understand, seeing ye are, what's those last three words?
Dull of hearing.
All right, dull of hearing. Now, this word dull means lazy or sluggish, lazy or sluggish. So here's what God's telling us here. He says a milk believer is a person who's a lazy hearer, a sluggish hearer. He says that a person that, he makes the parallel of the person who's a lazy person. They don't want to work. They don't want to do anything, and it shows up. And by the way, a lazy person reaps what they sow. Lazy person, you're not going to have what you could have if you weren't lazy. So the Bible says here that the first thing that is a milk believer is basically a lazy hearer. Now I want to tell you, a lazy hearer is a person who's not interested. A lazy hearer is a person who doesn't see the importance of hearing. A lazy person is a person who is undisciplined in their hearing. Like tonight, this chapel hour, many of you are trying to hear. What you're trying to do is you're trying not to be dull of hearing. You're trying not to be lazy in your hearing. You're trying to focus on what's being said. How many classes have you sat through and the teacher got up there and teach, and when the teacher was done, you don't remember anything the teacher said? Okay, don't raise your hand, all right? But it wasn't so much the teacher in his exposition or saying what needed to be said as much as it was in your desire to hear. You were dull of hearing. How many people go to church and they sit through an entire service and when they go home and they're at the dinner table, what did the pastor talk on today? Man, I don't know what he talked on today. It's because we were dull of hearing. We were lazy in our hearing. Turn over to Mark 4. I want you to see something here in Mark chapter number 4. Mark chapter number 4. A little bit. All right, look at Mark chapter 4. I want you to jump down here in verse number 23, I believe it is. Mark 24. Jesus is speaking here. Verse 23 says, if any man have ears to hear, what should you do with them? All right, so if you got two ears, use them. Look what he says in verse 24. And he said unto them, take heed what ye what?
Hear.
Now look at this next sentence, interesting. He says, first of all, I want you to take heed what you hear, but then he says, here's what you need to do. With what measure, just like a person having a measuring cup, all right, three-fourths of a cup, half of a cup, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Now, specifically, what is he talking about? All right, now listen, if I was to ask that question to a couple of you in particular, you have no idea what I'm saying because I can see by your eyeballs you're somewhere else. That's what being dull of hearing is. You're being lazy in your hearing as far as trying to take in. Jesus just got on saying here, take heed what you hear, for in what measure. All right, so if I measure my hearing by getting, I'm listening to half the service, all right? I'm sitting in a church service, I'm sitting in a chapel service. God says, in what measure you meet, in what measure you hear, that's the measure you're going to receive. Look at verse number 24 again. He says, take heed what ye hear, for with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that what?
Hear
shall what?
More
be given. So God says, if you're willing to listen, I'm going to give you more. In other words, the amount that you listen is the amount that I'm going to give, and I'm going to give you more than what you listen. In other words, God says, I'm going to open your eyes of understanding. I'm going to teach you more if you were focused on hearing. The proverb from Solomon, it's amazing, in the very beginning chapter of the introduction of the book of Proverbs, and he's speaking to young people, he says, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion, and the very next verse, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. It's just a matter of, am I a milk hearer or a milk believer, or am I a meat believer? You're going to get a whole lot more from the Bible if you're a meat believer than a milk believer, but you're going to be, the milk believers are the ones that are just lazy in their hearing. They're sluggish in their hearing. You know, you come to church sometimes and you're tired. When I was in college, we would have chapel, and so many times you'd be tired when you come to chapel, and you'd do everything you could to try to get what you could in chapel. So you'd sit on the edge of your seat, so if you fell asleep, you'd fall forward. They told me when I was in college that if I would take a pen and stab my thigh while the preacher was preaching, it'd keep me awake. I didn't like pain, so I didn't do that one. They would try to come up. They had a guy in class one time. He worked nights, and he was asleep, and he was sitting in the back, and he had fallen asleep in class, and a couple of the guys that were next to him were playing a joke on him. So the teacher was teaching and going through the class period and all around, and all of a sudden, the guys that were sitting next to him said, hey, he wants you to close in prayer. And he woke up, didn't know what was going on, so when the boys told him he needs to close, he stood up and started praying in class. The teacher said, what are you doing? It's because he wasn't hearing. Hey, we have to train ourselves in this area of not being dull of hearing. Hey, sometimes you turn your ears on relax mode. Hey, what happens when you take Christmas break? What happens when you had a day off school because of the cold weather? We put ourselves sometimes in relax mode. We sleep in a little bit longer. We do really whatever we want. We try not to take any on responsibility. We just want to have a good time when relaxed. And just like we put our bodies on relax mode, if you're not careful, you can put your ears on relax mode. Oh, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. It's a matter of not focusing. It's a matter of not being attentive to what you're listening. And by the way, it can be a Sunday school lesson. It can be a teacher in school. It can be anything. It can be on the job. I mean, how many times a person does a job wrong and they say, hey, listen, why did you do that? He said, well, I didn't know. And what does the authority say? I told you that. I told you. You know what the problem was? They weren't listening. They were dull of hearing. Now look, if you're going to be a milk believer, first of all, that I see that milk believers are those who are dull of hearing. Look at something else. Go back to Hebrews now, chapter number 5 again. There's three things mentioned in this passage here. Let's look at the second one. Second thing he says here in Hebrews 5, look down in verse number 13. For everyone that useth milk, all right, so the simple things of the word, easy things that are easy to understand, nothing that's difficult, but yet not as much nourishment. He says, for everyone that useth milk is, what's the next phrase?
Unskillful.
All right. Unskillful, as he goes on to say, unskillful in the word of righteousness. Unskillful. Now, this word unskillful means inexperienced. All right. The idea of being ignorant, inexperienced. Now, can I tell you that if you're a milk believer, it's number one because you are a lazy hearer. Number two, if you're a milk believer, it's because you're an inexperienced hearer. Now, what I mean by that, this is not a matter of inexperience as you don't have the opportunity. It means inexperience as you're not trying to experience. Hey, when a person does not experience something, it's because they're not doing something. Those who are doing something are experiencing something, all right? Have you ever been, how many's in here been bungee jumping? Anybody been bungee jumping? You've been bungee jumping? Wow, that's pretty amazing, all right? She's the only person who has experienced bungee jumping, all right? You know why? Because she did it. How many of you have never ridden a roller coaster? Okay, oh, just a couple of you, okay? That'd be a fun experience for you. But you can't experience something until you do something. Now, isn't it interesting? He says the persons who are those that are taking the milk of the word, it says that they are unskillful in the word of righteousness. In other words, they're inexperienced on that. Young people, hearing builds upon hearing, and we don't understand that oftentimes, okay? So you're studying math in class, all right? Right now, you're in doing elementary math, and you're doing basic stuff, plus, minus, divide, you know, multiply. You're going to go from that to probably, I'm going to guess, 5th and 6th grade, maybe, obviously, 7th and 8th, 9th and 12th, algebra. You're starting to get, you know, A plus B equals C. This doesn't make any sense to me. But anyway, but algebra. And then you're going to go from algebra to geometry. You're going to go to geometry to calculus. You're going to calculus to others. Now, every one of those builds, if you don't get the first basic math right, you can't ever do algebra. All right? Hearing is the same way. I'm an English major by nature. English builds upon itself. I had a class called spelling class when I was growing up. And they said, we want to teach you how to spell. And then from spelling class, they wanted me to try to learn the parts of speech. Now, when I was growing up, there were 8 parts of speech. Some people think there's 11. There are only 8. Is that right? It's been a long time, but I don't think they changed that. And then from the parts of speech, they wanted us to learn sentence structure, you know, and how all sentences go together, and how you have a primary sentence and supporting sentences, and how a paragraph goes together. And then they wanted us to go to literature, and part of literature was English grammar, and they had us to be able to start writing stories and how it was supposed to be written. Everything built on each other. Now, I want to tell you, hearing does the same thing. What makes a person an inexperienced hearer is a person who's not willing to experience hearing. In other words, the more I put myself in the Word of God and I become experienced in the Word of God, then what happens, it changes me from a milk believer to a meat believer, to be able to understand the greater things of the Word of God, how to be a better husband, how to be a better Christian, how to run my finances. Everything that the Bible teaches us about life is there. But you know what? If I'm a baby Christian or a new Christian or I'm a bus kid, I'm not going to do 5 lessons on how to get out of debt from the Word of God. I'm going to teach them what salvation is. Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. They need a Savior, and you accept Him as their personal Savior. Repent and believe. I'm not going to teach a teen church. I'm not going to teach teen church on tongues. I know what they're going to think, well, we have one. I'm not going to teach them on the gift of tongues in that teen church. I'm going to teach them on how they can be a good witness for their parents. It's the milk of the word. But you all are being raised in a Christian school, and I want to tell you, just because you're raised in a Christian school does not make you a meat believer. And what I mean by that, you will never understand the Word of God like you could understand the Word of God until you do what the Bible says. Number one, don't be dull of hearing. Don't be lazy in your hearing. Number two, don't be unskillful in the Word. Study. Experience. Figure out what it's talking about. What does a word mean? How is it in the context of the Scriptures? What's that word talking about with the verses that are supporting it? How does that verse apply to me? Who was God speaking to when he wrote that particular verse? It's called trying to understand what the Word of God. And the more I can experience the Word of God, the more unskillful I won't be. And guess what? The more I won't be a milk believer. Look at one more thing with me this morning. Look at verse number 13. One more thing here. A milk believer is a person who's dull of hearing. A milk believer is a person who's unskillful in the Word. Look at verse 13 again. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the Word of righteousness. For he is a what? All right? Now, most of you think you're a babe, but that's not what it's talking about. All right. It's not what it's talking about. I just want you to know. All right. This word babe means infant, but it goes farther than that. It means to be immature. My kids at home, sometimes they argue. Not very often. No. I know it's hard to believe, but sometimes they do, every once in a while. And sometimes the older kids will say, you know, you're acting like a child. I know I am, but what are you? And listening to them respond to one another is childish. But part of it's their age, their immaturity. Now, God's putting this on a spiritual level. And he's not really talking about the age of a person as much as he's talking about the maturity level of a Christian. Hey, I have met people that have been in their 50s and 60s that were very immature for being a Christian. I've met people who've been saved 20, 30, 40 years who were very immature for being a Christian. And you know what? You can only give them milk. You couldn't give them meat. You give them meat, they wanted to question it. You give them meat, they would want to argue it. You know why? Because they were dull of hearing. They were lazy in their hearing. You know why? Because they were unskillful in the word. They never studied the word of God. You know why? Because they were a babe. They were immature. They were immature as a Christian. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. I want you to see what Paul said about it in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3. Look at verse number 1 with me. 1 Corinthians 3, verse number 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto what? Babes in Christ. I have fed you with what? And not with what? For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet what? Now the word carnal means fleshly. Immature. Not spiritually where they ought to be. Hey, you know what makes a person a milk believer? Is when a person's living in the flesh and they're living a carnal life and a worldly life. They've not grown. They can't take meat. You know, last night I made a few statements during the service that seemingly to you meant nothing, but there were other people in the auditorium that were very hard to swallow. A woman ought not to wear a pair of pants. A Christian ought not to be playing with a deck of cards. A Christian ought not to be going to a movie theater. Some of those statements to you, oh yeah, that everybody knows that. Not everybody knows that. And so what happens is there's people in the auditorium of different maturity levels in their hearing. Some Christians can take that and say, well, that's what the Bible says. You shouldn't do that. That's a Bible principle. You shouldn't do that. And then other people hear those things and they think to themselves, what in the world? Where did that come from? That's not right. It's the difference between being a milk believer and a meat believer. Alrighty? So, you can be a milk believer all your life. Milk? I don't drink milk very often. Can't remember the last time. It's like water to me. It's better than a vanilla shake. Milk and a vanilla shake is really good. Whipped cream, cherry on top. Easy to swallow, easy to digest, easy to take in. But it's not as good as fried chicken. It's not as good as a double cheeseburger with bacon on top. Yep, it's not as good. A lot more nourishing. Hey, can I tell you, you can be a milk believer all your life and just take in the simple things of the Word of God, or you can decide I'm going to be a meat believer, and I want to tell you how you change from this to meat. It's real simple. Don't be lazy in your hearing. Pay attention. Take in what God has for you. I want to tell you how you do it. Don't be unskillful in the Word. Study the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Experience the Word of God. I want to tell you how you don't become a milk believer. Don't be immature as a Christian. How do you not be immature as a Christian? Don't live a carnal life. Walk with God. Live for God. Keep your sins confessed. And then you know what God does? He gives in proportion. You're going to get a whole lot more in your Christian life from the Word of God on how to live a happy life by doing the Word of God than you ever could have ever thought of because of being a meat believer instead of a milk believer. Hey, we expect babies to drink milk, and we don't think anything of it. But we don't expect college students to drink milk. But yet there are college students, maybe not in this college, hopefully not, but there are college students and adults even in church that you can't talk about anything deep with them. You know why? Because they're a milk believer. It's not that important. They don't. There's no desire. No. What did you say? Teach me again. I had a person email me this morning or last night. I was going through my emails this morning, and they asked a question. Really good question too. They just wanted to know, you know, how come God does this in this type of situation? And then gave me a verse to look at. So this morning I looked at the verse and went to a couple different passages, studied a chapter out, sent an email back. Said, listen, read this particular chapter. It tells why God did what he did and why. And he explained it to the children of Israel. I'll read that. And then I gave a couple conclusions to that. But you know why a person emailed me? It's because they're not a milk believer. They're a meat believer. Well, why does God do this? Now, this particular verse, what does it mean? It has everything to do with not being dull of hearing, being experienced in the Word of God, and not living a carnal life so that you're not a babe in Christ. Hey, it doesn't matter how young or old you are. Hey, by the way, all of you are one or the other. It's one or the other. You are a milk, not milk. If you're a meat believer, you can take in milk. But if you're a milk believer, you can't take in meat. So there's nothing wrong with milk. Should you pray? That's milk. Should you read your Bible? That's milk. There's nothing wrong with you. But I want to tell you something. If you're a meat believer, you can take in milk all day long. But if you're a milk believer, you can't take in meat. You want to try to get as all that you can from the Word of God so that you can live your life for him. Why don't you bow your head and close your eyes?